Instant inspiration. When I am right, I do not argue with myself. How about that? When I am right, I do not argue with myself. And this is very true. When we are correct, we don't argue with ourselves. When we are not correct, then we make excuses for what we've done. We make excuses for how we've handled it. We're always trying to exonerate ourselves from all responsibility and blame for the way that we have thought, when the way we thought is the way we thought. Now, when I am right, I do not argue with myself. How many times have you argued with yourself about whether you should do something or whether you shouldn't? We have a statement here at the monastery and at the university that we use quite often. If you have to ask for permission, or if you have to ask whether you should do something or not, the answer is no. Because if you know that what you're doing is right, you don't have to ask for permission. If you know what you're doing is correct, if you really in your heart know that it's right, you don't need anybody else to approve it. But when you argue with yourself that it's right, when you say, well, this is right because of this and because of that, and because it's got to be right, no becauses. It has to be right because it has to be right since it comes directly from your inner thought, your inner heart. It's you. Why did you do that stupid thing? Well, I felt like doing it at the moment. And then it turns out that the thing wasn't really stupid. It appeared stupid. Why did you tell that child that what he had done was so beautiful? I don't know, I just felt that was the right thing to do. And then the little child comes up to you later and says, thank you for seeing my mouse. Everybody else saw a dog and a cat and other things, but you saw a mouse. That's what I made. That's a mouse. Thank you. You just felt right about it. You just felt right about speaking about it. And you see, every time you go along and you look at something you don't understand, like a child's drawing, and you say to the child, well, now, what is this wonderful story you're telling here? And instantly they say, well, I'm telling a story about this cat and this mouse, and they're friends, and they play together, and they're doing wonderful things together. They're just having so much fun together. Can you see them playing in the backyard? And here they are running around the front of the house, and here they are, you know, going in the basement and working on the tool bench. And the mouse is bringing the nails, and the cat is pounding with the hammer. Hey, that's really nice. I've never seen a cat pound with a hammer or a mouse bring in the nails, but if you can work something out like that, that's great, you know. Well, whatever's our imagination. Whatever's our imagination, we can accomplish. And if we have to argue with whether it's right or not, we won't do it. If we have to discuss whether it's the thing, now, do you think I really should say this in this story? It's the story of my life. You think I should really tell about my brother and how he had this dozen affairs in 1 week? You think I should really tell it? And I say, what do you think? Do you think you should tell it? What benefit is it to the story for you to tell it? What benefit is it for the story of your life to tell that you have a brother who is going through this condition? Oh, that would make it so human. That would make it so, is that what you want to do, make it so human? Well, it gets readership. Is that what you want, readership? Or do you want to tell the story of your life in the most charming, delightful way that shows you to be the person you are? Because your father was an alcoholic, because your mother was a belly dancer, because your brother was out messing around, because your sister just love to stay at home eating bonbons all the time. Does this show who you are? Well, it shows that I didn't do those things. Well, is that what you want to show? Or do you want to show what you did do? While your sister was eating bonbons, and while your mother was belly dancing, and while your father was an alcoholic, and while your brother was playing around in the field, what did you do? What did you do? Well, I used to love to get up early in the morning. I used to love to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, what about when you go to bed late? It doesn't matter. I love to get up at 2 in the morning. And when I'd get up at 2 in the morning, I'd go to my secret place, the corner of the room. I had my writing materials there. And I'd sit down and I'd write and I'd write and I'd write. And I just would write and write and write. And everything came out right. All the words were saying just what I wanted them to say. All of the ideas were being expressed so beautifully. I felt so good about it. Well, did you ask anybody whether you should write? No. Did you tell anybody what you were writing about? No. Did you tell anybody that you were even writing? No. Why didn't you get permission? You should have got permission to get up at 2 in the morning and write. You got permission to write stories. You got permission to do these things. Don't you understand that? No. You see, when it's right for you, when it's right for what you want to accomplish for yourself, you don't have to argue with anybody about it. You don't have to discuss it with anybody. You just go and do that which is right for you to do. You just flow with it. Now, you say, well, I'm going to do as I damn please. I'm at the monastery, and these are the rules of the monastery, but I don't want to follow them. I want to follow my own rules because I am me, and I got to do my own thing. Well, hey, one way to get your walking papers any place is to do your own thing contrary to the program at any organization or any household. If you go in your mother's house, and you're an adult, and you say, Mom, I'm going to set up business in my bedroom. And your mother says, what do you mean? What kind of business? You're going to do computer work? Or you're going to be a telephone solicitor or something? No, I'm going to have boys over and charge them. You're going to do what? I'm going to set up a business in my room and have sex with different boys and charge them for the sex. And mother says, oh, where'd you ever get such an idea like that? Well, some of the other girls have done it and they made a lot of money. Oh, is that right? Well, you think that's something that you'd be happy to do? Oh, yes, it doesn't bother me at all. Well, not in this house. Not in this house, we don't do things like that. We respect certain rules around here, and one of the rules is that we don't do that. But, Mom, I didn't know it was. Did you ever see your brother doing anything like that, or your sisters? Did you ever see your father or I do anything like that? No. Well, that's one of the unwritten rules, that we do not come into this house and use it in a way that we are not proud of. Well, I'm proud of it. Well, then you go be proud of it somewhere else where they're proud of it with you, because we're not proud of that here. If you have to tell me what you're going to do, and you did tell me, you wanted my permission. You wanted my approval. And, of course, you knew that I wouldn't give it. And you knew that if your father heard that you were even contemplating such a thing, he would wash you out with soap. He would do all sorts of terrible things. You know, hate is something that comes in here a little bit. When I'm right, I do not argue with myself. I have known a number of women who had very strong opinions on many things. And I don't want to empower them, but, and I won't, but they had very strong opinions on things. And they were adamantly against certain lifestyles, certain alternate lifestyles. They were adamantly against it. And then, unknown to them, their sisters participated in this alternate lifestyle. Their brothers participated in it. And then they found out that their husband participated in these alternate lifestyles. And they were hatefully, adamantly against it, judging it with all their heart. And what happened? They brought it into their own experience. Now, what if they had not been adamantly against it? What if they had not said yes or not said no, but just said, hey, that's your world? Would anything have ever touched their life? No, because they did not include judgment in their world. And nothing would have touched their life. But I'm thinking of several illustrations, and I hate to mention these illustrations because it empowers them. But I'm saying, when you have to argue with yourself about the things you do or the things that you want to do, or whether you're right or not, you're wrong. You're wrong. Even if you think that you should have whole wheat bread at every meal, one slice of whole wheat bread. If you think you should do that, and you argue about it, I have to have this, you will find that there are doctors who say you should not do that. And doctors who will look at your body and say you should not do it. There's an article in one of the business magazines, and the article tells all about the scanning process that they can do on the body, how they can slice the body up into little pieces with their with their instruments, with their excuse me, they can slice the body up into little pieces with their laser machine with photographs. And in slicing it up, they can see every little part of it. They know every little inch of it, if you will, or quarter inch or half inch or whatever. They know it. And they can see where an ulcer might be forming or a cancer might be forming or some tumor might be forming. They can see where some imperfection is taking place. And I found the article's emphasis quite charming. The emphasis of the article was, now we can know everything about the human body. We can know about things in advance of their happening and stem them from happening sometimes. But we can also know everything about the human body that might make us nervous and make us worry about things that are never going to happen. Because within the human body are many little imperfections here and there which had not been exacerbated, which had not been developed from any through any purpose. And knowing about these things, we exacerbate them, we empower them. Knowing about these little things, we give them reason to exist. Not knowing about them, they play their game and they were done. It's just like if you're a smoker, a heavy smoker for years and years and years, the doctor looks at your lungs and says, my God, your lungs are pure tar. And then the doctor says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send you to a desert island. No cigarettes, nothing. We're going to send you to this desert island and you're going to be able to eat and live and enjoy yourself. But when we bring you back, we're going to check you. So, they sent him to the desert island, deserted island, with just his family or whoever. No cigarettes, no cigars, no tobacco of any kind. And he's there for 6 months. And his doctor comes over and says, well, how are you doing? I'm doing just fine. And he checks his lungs, and the lungs are revealed to be almost clear of any nicotine. Then he comes back after a period of 2 years, and he finds that there's not a trace of any nicotine in the lungs. His lungs had been pure tar, and in 2 years, they had cleaned themselves out because he did not smoke. He did not keep on building on the problem. He did not argue with the problem. Most people really don't care if they die. They don't care if they live. Because they do things that are destructive to their lives They do things that are destructive to their being. And in doing that, they create themselves a problem. What do I say to you? I say, do not talk about the negative experience that you're having. Talk only about the positive experience you're having. Do not talk about your illness. Talk about the solution to your illness. What is your body like when it's whole and perfect? What is your body like when it is in divine order? Always think in divine order. If we argue for our right to have an imperfect body, an undivine order, if you will, then that's our privilege. No one's going to refute us that opportunity. But are you ready to live in your eternally perfect, ideal, spirit, mind, and body? If you are, then think only an eternally perfect spirit, mind, and body. You understand? You have to have that as your major 100% thought. And when you have it as your major 100% thought, you will have that whole body. Are you ready? Are you ready to give it what it takes? Can you close your eyes to the scanner that goes through your body and tells you all these things about yourself? Which most of them will never happen. Are you ready to listen to who your body tells you it is, that it's whole and perfect? Great. Are you ready to be the master you are? If you are, then go for it. But remember, don't argue with the truth. When I am right, I do not argue with myself. When I'm right, I do not argue with myself. So plan on that. Know that and experience that, because that's the reality for you, and that's what it's all about. When I am right, I do not argue with myself. Let that be your inspiration for today. I love you.